Ryan Dixon and Rory Boylan host Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Philadelphia, the Capitals have eliminated the Philadelphia Flyers 4-2. Washington, get ready for Pittsburgh, D.C. The Penguins and the Capitals are up next.
Okay, quickly, Alex, you know how the second round will be built. Ovi and the Caps versus Sid and the Penguins. How do you anticipate that series?
That's what I like about Barry Trotz. Remember what he told him when he arrived in Washington? He said, first of all, you're going to the Hall of Fame. But you want to go in the Hall of Fame just as a 50-goal scorer? Or you want to go as a winner?
He's a tough guy. You'll never get me knocking him because you see him after one of his teammates scores, he's just as happy. But no, I want to see Crosby win.
I think it brings out the best in both of us. You know, if you look at the past, that's been the case. And no, I think there's a lot made of it. But I think that at the same time, yeah, we want to be at our best for our, you know, respective teams. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Ovechkin's now 30. They're completely different places in their career than they were the last time they met in the playoffs. But I think you could make an argument they're both playing really, really well right now. It's not a case of one guy's down and one guy's up.
Everybody, get on the roll. What the hell did you come here for?
Welcome to Tape to Tape, T2T. I'm Ryan Dixon. I am a writer for Sportsnet Magazine and Sportsnet.ca. Sitting to my left, grooving along to Prince and thinking about the glory that is the second round. It is Sportsnet.ca senior NHL producer Rory Boylan.
My brackets are still alive. My champion is still there.
Your team is out, but your bracket lives.
The San Jose Sharks, man. How's yours looking?
Yeah, not bad. It would have been better if I had the guts to pick the Florida Panthers. We'll get there. The Predators. Like, I kind of wanted to, but
yeah, same.
But back down on. Mm-hmm. We are, of course, going to get to all the second round action, just as some of those voices you heard, just to name a few: Damian Cox, Don Cherry, Sidney Crosby, Renaud Lavoie, all teeing up round two. We're going to get there, but before we do, we're going to do a little post-mortem here on T2T for the teams that have already fallen. And just a reminder for you, you can, of course, follow us following the playoffs all the way through by subscribing in iTunes, or just check us out on sportsnet.ca. Follow Rory at Rory Boylan on Twitter. Follow myself at Dixon on Sports. We'll start with your beloved Panthers. Couple heartbreakers to close it out. Both 2-1, I think, in overtime.
Both double overtime.
Both double overtime.
Yeah. It's tough, and they outplayed the Islanders all series long. I think the Islanders, if they led for more than 30 minutes in that entire series, I would be surprised. I know going into game 6, they were kind of around 20 minutes. They had been leading the Panthers over the entire series. They didn't lead
at all.
And
Florida got the lead right off the hop.
Exactly. So that's tough, but, you know, John Tavares took over that series completely. Thomas Greiss was excellent in net for the Islanders because they were outplayed so badly. He was holding that fort down. But it wasn't because the Islanders didn't win that series because of tremendous depth or because they got great play out of somebody that they weren't expecting. They won because Thomas Greiss held the fort and John Tavares just completely took over. Oh, that overtime goal to win the series.
Does this mean we can go back to saying your best players have to be your best players?
Yeah.
Is that now back as analysis?
There it is. Yeah. It shows you, though, the difference that a star player can make in a series.
And don't you think, I mean, I guess we'll touch on this a little more when we get to the Isles-Tampa series, but John Tavares is just sick of being a great first overall pick MVP candidate who's never been past the first round.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say. He just completely took over that. He was easily the best player on that overtime goal that won the series for them. He was skating faster than, remember when he came into the league skating was the knock on him? And he's been doing a lot of training, I think, with Daryl Belfry since then. And I mean, he was the fastest skater on that ice surface at that time by far. Trocheck, I guess, was pretty good too. But on that specific play, Tavares just It's like he turned on the speed boosters, like held down the PlayStation speed button and just kind of went around that net and no one could stop him. Now there was a little bit of a broken defense coverage on that play too, but he just was on the puck fast and he scored a couple of huge goals for them. And I just really want to say, everybody who listens to this regularly knows I'm a Florida Panthers fan. We got to give up on that stupid trip. Like the one at the end of regulation on Vincent Trocheck, net was empty. Islanders net was empty. Panthers had it in the Islanders zone. Trocheck was, I'm not sure if he was trying to make a shot or pass it back to the point. He got tripped. No call. Islanders go down and score. It doesn't matter. The good teams overcome that stuff. Every team that has won a Stanley Cup had a bad call on them somewhere along the way. You have to put that puck into the empty net. They had some other chances that they didn't convert it. And not only that, you have to prevent the goal. You still have to play defense.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not over until the time hits zero and the good teams find a way and the Panthers didn't do it. So I was upset at the time when the penalty wasn't called, but I didn't think it would kind of live on for the next day as it did. But it's just not a big deal. It really is not a big deal unless we want to start reviewing all that stuff. We know how much fun that is.
Well, you have mentally put the penalty to rest. The Panthers have been put to rest. Another team that has been bounced in a game seven in very familiar fashion, you have to say probably the most surprising or the most consequential in terms of what may happen now exit is that of the Anaheim Ducks. We've now seen this team really gag it up in 2013, 14, 15, 16. 4 years in a row they've lost game six and seven of
both
a series.
Both of them, exactly.
That's pretty crazy.
All those game sevens at home, too.
All that at home, and you know, what do you do? Because you obviously have a good team. We know you're not going to go out and start trading the best players on your team. You know when you signed Kessler to a six-year extension, and he was good.
That contract's going to look bad very quickly, but it isn't already.
You would think so, but essentially, they're committed to being an all-in team right now.
Yep.
Bob Murray was so patient early on. I was so impressed with the way he stuck by Bruce Boudreau. Mm-hmm. Do you think he stands by him again? I mean, Boudreau of the 1-6 or 1-7 game seven record. I mean, is that just
is it
a flip
him?
Of the coin? Yeah, I know. It's really hard to believe. Like, the guy just forgets how to coach in one game.
Yeah.
It's just the whole situation you just look at and shake your head and go, what is up there?
Yeah, I mean, he changed the way the Ducks played to more of a shutdown style after they got off to that horrible start this year. And they turned it right around. So obviously he's a great coach. He did some great things in Washington, too. I don't think sitting here today and looking at the coaches who are available, because you're not looking at signing a guy like a Mark Crawford or, I don't think anyway, a guy out of the AHL, a first-time NHL coach. I think you need an experienced NHL coach for this team. And looking at who's available, there's just not anybody better than Bruce Boudreau. So sitting here today, I don't see how you can fire him. Now, if Ken Hitchcock still becomes available, I don't think he's out of the clear yet. I think if they lose to Dallas, then he's probably on the hot seat again. He's taken a lot of heat for how he's used or not used Vladimir Tarasenko.
Who must be nursing something when you look at those.
I don't know. I mean, he's playing really well. He's scored four goals. So if Ken Hitchcock becomes available, then maybe I think about doing that. But I mean, it's just not a slam dunk. It's so easy to just say, well, we'll fire the coach and bring somebody else in, but that's not a guarantee of anything. You need to make sure that A, you're bringing in somebody who's just as good or better, and B, somebody who isn't going to impede, I guess, what you already have. Somebody who isn't going to disrupt what you already have there. And Ken Hitchcock might, because he's a bit of a hard nose in that way.
Sure.
It's because it is a good team. You just lost a game seven. You lost a game six and a game seven, but you made a huge comeback this year. I don't think the coach is really where you look first, but you do have some questions on the roster with Sammy Vatanen and Hampus Lindholm as RFAs, Frederik Andersen as an RFA. What do you do? You at some point here need to make a decision on one of these goalies who you're going to run with. I don't think that decision's really clear yet.
Yeah, no, not
I
after
mean,
John Gibson, Andersen came in. Yeah,
yeah, he was. This was supposed to be the year he kind of left his mark, right? And he didn't. And with those two young defensemen, you're going to have salary cap problems here. if you sign them and everybody else that you need to sign, do you look at trading one of them for a forward? I think they could maybe fill out their forward unit a little bit more because they're not going to sign all their UFAs. So maybe it's the roster changing. You have some assets there who you can move, who you can afford to move and get some good, really good return for. So I think that's where you kind of have to look first and say, okay, what do we have here? What should we do? We have some expiring contracts. We have some depth in certain areas that we can move out for depth in other areas or really good pieces in other areas on forward specifically. I think that's where you need to look first because that's what you know what you have in front of you. But the coach, there's just nobody better than Bruce. And you know, if Bruce Boudreau gets fired, he's going to go somewhere else really quick.
The last focus we'll take with teams that have been bounced is to look at LA and Chicago. I think there was, if at any point in the year, and I know our deputy editor at Sportsnet Magazine, Jordan Heath Rawlings, I think he had this bet going with a buddy, where you set it up as someone gets the Kings and Blackhawks and someone gets the field in terms of the Western Conference representative. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people would have said, give me the Kings and Blackhawks? One of those two teams is going. And here we are. They're both out. And I think we're probably in agreement. It's kind of fun, right, that we're going to get some turnover.
Half the teams who are left, four of the eight, have ever won a cup, which is amazing considering you had two teams at the start of this who were looking to become quote-unquote dynasties,
right.
if Chicago wasn't one already, in the modern sense.
Which they are.
They are. Four of them. It's definitely more exciting because you have, I mean, look at the West. You have Dallas, who has kind of arrived, they're the top seed, and they're being totally disrespected as the top seed because they've just kind of arrived here very quickly.
Right.
And then the rest of them, St. Louis, Nashville, and San Jose, all have been good for quite some time, but have never been able to get over that hump. They're all three of them are playoff disappointment teams over and over and over again. Nashville, that was their first ever game seven against
Anaheim,
which is surprising. So somebody, you have to figure one of them is going to come out this time. I still don't believe in Dallas. I'm one of the ones disrespecting them. One of those three has to come out, and then that's a great story. Whether it's St. Louis, one of the 1967 expansion teams, never won a cup. San Jose, I mean, Joe Thornton, and then the constant disappointment around them. It would be nice if they won a cup. And then Nashville, of course, being the small market, great fan base.
Always competitive.
Party atmosphere.
Never,
exactly. So, it's great to watch. But LA and Chicago, I mean, I had them out in my bracket, but if you asked me at the start of the year, I would have taken Chicago and LA versus the field.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, the champs are dead. Let's move our focus to the teams that are still at it. Coming up after the break, we're going to start picking apart these series, letting you know what we think about who's going to get through round two and into the conference final. That's coming up next on Tape to Tape. Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Second segment of the show. Time to talk about round two. We're going Eastern Conference first. So let's dive into it series by series.
Hand it back over for Malkin, then to Kessel. Kessel threw it up and they score! A power play goal! Crosby at the side of the net to tie the game at 1-1.
Here's Carlson across. Ovechkin shoots. It's blocked. Blocked by Schultz again. And then Ovechkin scores! His second of the game. Capitals lead 5-1. It's their fourth power play goal.
The heavyweight matchup.
This is like if a plate of chili cheese fries is in front of me and I want to eat it. I can't wait. I can't wait for this one to start.
Well, dive in.
I had some chili cheese fries
with
on
your
the
mouth. That sounds like something people reference but never actually eat, so I'm impressed to hear that you have.
I had some recently, so it's on my mind. Once
all right. Again. Well, I'm sure this series has also been on your mind ever since it was determined. Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby, the guys who sort of brought the NHL back from a year when it was dead. The lockout, of course, their rookie years coincided with hockey's back and their shootouts. been ups and downs for both in different different ways. And, of course, the last time they met was when Sidney Crosby was en route to winning his first Stanley Cup. The only time they met in the playoffs, you kind of think...
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
2009.
Yeah, 2009. And I would have thought, like, off the top of my head, oh, it must have happened a couple times. No, just the one time, a Pittsburgh 7-game win. What are you feeling this time out?
Well, I'm feeling Washington, and I had, in my bracket, I have these two teams playing each other, and I had Washington winning, and I'm going to stick with that. I think they have the better depth. And I think they have the better defense. And I think Pittsburgh's defense and lack of depth is overall is going to be really what haunts them here, because that forward core in Washington is just going to keep coming at them. Just keep, it doesn't matter what line is out there. They're just going to be pushing, be knocking on that door. And I'm not really worried about Matt Murray, to be honest with you. I think he really showed himself.
Well, and you know what's funny? Like, I mean, Braden Holtby's a Vezina candidate. He'll probably win it, but... You could, I mean, it, with the goaltending, you could see a guy getting hot for 2 weeks, and Matt Murray's been good, but he could, that could be a wash, right?
Yep.
But you look at the six defensemen.
It's the rest of it.
Yeah, that you're like, over time, Washington's going to stretch it out.
Yeah, clearly on paper, Braden Holtby is the better goalie, but in a 7-game series, like you said, anything can happen. They're both clearly capable capable of winning 4 games just going on a hot streak. It is the rest of it. It is the depth. And this, I mean, I can't wait to see what Ovechkin and Crosby do in this series. I don't think really either of them, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say I don't think either of them are going to be the difference in this series, because there is a lot of star power on both sides. But I shouldn't say that, because the last time these two teams played in the playoffs, there was one game where both of them scored a hat trick.
Was it one game? I was thinking, I couldn't remember if it was one game to the next. It was like dueling goals, though.
Yeah, I hope that happens again. That would be incredible. But how about Phil Kessel?
Yeah.
I mean, how about this guy?
Well, you had to know he didn't forget how to play hockey. And, like, say what you want about Phil Kessel. He was good for his 37-39 in Toronto when the team was not very good.
Yeah.
He shoots the puck 1 inch off the ice just inside the far post about as well as anyone. Like, hey, man, the guy knows how to put the puck where it needs to be, and you had to think at some point he was going to start getting some goals.
Yeah, and even in that last round, I mean, Evgeny, Crosby had a really good game. Kessel had a good game. Malkin completely took, I think, two of them just right over. And right there, I mean, Crosby doesn't need to win this series. Ovechkin doesn't need to win this series. At any point, any one of those Pittsburgh stars could just take over the game, because we've seen that before. But I think in the end, after, I'm going to say this one goes 6 games, I just think Washington has too much to throw at the Pens for the Pens to survive. And I think it's going to be close, but I just think there's too much depth here for Washington, and that's what wins.
Yeah, that's the thing, that you think Washington is going to... to eventually wear them down.
Plus, this seems to be the year the teams that have failed so many times in the past come through. So, Washington, at least Pittsburgh's won a cup. So,
and you have to think, too, not that Washington got a real quote-unquote scare, but, you know, they had to go play that Game 6 where you started to get those doubts creeping in. That was nice for them to say, no, we're not fooling around here. Like, we're not pushing it to 7. You know, we're going to take care of business.
Yes.
It's great, too, that this series is happening at a point where, I mean, don't forget, if you go back a couple of years, there was a little, like, what's wrong with Ovi? Like, he was scoring 30 goals, not 50 goals.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, has come back strong the last couple of years. Crosby at the beginning of this year and last year under Mike Johnson with the Penguins, not the same Crosby, potentially due to the system the Penguins are playing, but ever since Mike Sullivan has come in, essentially we're catching both guys on an upswing, as Damian Cox mentioned, or one of the voices you heard right off the top. You know, it's like both guys are, in a sense, kind of, I don't want to say going through like a rejuvenation, because it's, you know, it's not like they ever truly stopped being great players, but they're both in a good spot right now.
Yeah, great spot. I take exception to people who look at this matchup and say, oh, well, if they weren't doing the stupid divisional setup, maybe these two could meet in the conference final, and that's where they should be meeting.
I'm one of those people, all right?
Oh, give me a break. I mean, I just want to see them play.
It's true.
I mean, you just want a bunch of crap matchups in the second round.
Well, you know what it is, too? I will say this. there's so much parity in the NHL now that I bet the league would say, you know what? We don't care when we get the matchup. Yeah. We just want it. Because it's not like basketball where you can say, barring the injuries that have been going on, well, the first and second seed are going to meet in the conference final or whatever, the first and third seed.
Yeah.
You know, if the Penguins play the Islanders, well, who's to say that they wouldn't get upset in six games? And now you don't get Sid Ovi at all.
Exactly.
Whereas now it's like, well, okay, it's second round, but it's still happening.
And the odds are in this system that they'll play more often in the playoffs. So what's wrong with that? I don't get that. I'm glad to see them playing here in the second round. And yeah, like you say, they're both on an upswing here. Malkin's on an upswing. Yeah. Kessel's on an upswing.
But we're picking Washington. Yeah. All right. Well, that is the first series down. We both got Washington in the cup final, so you knew we couldn't back down there. Time to move on to the other East matchup.
Nelson dropping it off. Pass across. Score! French gives the Islanders a 2-1 lead. Here's Brock Nelson with 7 seconds. Ryan Strome with 5. Throw for French. He scores! With 2 seconds remaining, second of the period for Shane French, 3-1 Islanders.
So we're a little slow out of the gate here. There's already been one game in the Islanders-Tampa matchup. As you heard, that game, of course, won by the NYI. And hey, you were talking about some guy named Tavares. Turns out he can play a little.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit. First of all, this part of the bracket has been blown up for me because I picked Florida and Detroit.
So I had Tampa, I'm at least 50%.
But watching Tampa in that first round, I mean, they looked like the Stanley Cup contenders they were last year, and that there was no way they were going to be stopped, and now the New York Islanders blow them up in the first game because Ben Bishop, of all people, kind of lets them down, who was one of the guys I wouldn't have expected that. Ben Bishop has been tremendous for the Lightning, and I think he'll catch on and be fine in the end. I don't think the Lightning will lose this series. But, you know, I follow a lot of people on Twitter from New York, I think because a lot of people who work for the NHL or publications are from New York. And last summer, I would remember following on Twitter, a lot of complaints about the New York Mets season all the way through. Oh, how bad the Mets are, and this is a joke, and blah, blah, blah. And then the New York Mets end up in the World Series. I remember watching them. How the heck did the New York Mets end up in the World Series? I just was reading crap about them all year. And the New York Islanders are the same way. I've been hearing crap about the New York Islanders all year long, and now here they are up 1-0 on Tampa Bay in the second round.
Well, and you said it sounds like you expect Tampa will still get through, but obviously no Stamkos, and maybe more importantly, no Anton Strahlman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're trying to stop a guy like John Tavares, of course, it's great that Hedman's there, but you kind of need all hands on deck at this point to hold up a guy of his caliber. So, I mean, especially given the Islanders have already snatched one on the road, are you quite confident Tampa will win? Are you sort of confident Tampa will win? Are you that much of a believer in Nikita Kucherov?
I'm quite confident Tampa will win. And I think because it's not sustainable for the Islanders from my perspective. They just got outplayed by the Florida Panthers basically every game in the first round and squeaked by an inexperienced team. They were outplayed by Tampa last night again. I just don't think they can keep getting outplayed. I mean, Thomas Greiss has been awesome, and maybe he proves me wrong and keeps stealing games, and that's totally possible. But I just think at some point it's going to catch up to the Islanders. And to me, Tampa's the team that it's going to happen against. Tampa made it to the Stanley Cup final last year. They have a lot of scoring. I don't think they necessarily need Steven Stamkos to get by the Islanders in this series.
Yeah.
And I think Ben Bishop he's not going to get pulled every game. Missing Anton Strahlman does hurt, for sure. For sure it does. But I just think overall Tampa has more, and I think this game is going to be a bit of an anomaly in this series when we look back. I just think the Islanders can't keep going on getting outplayed like they have.
Well, and I mentioned when I touched on Tampa Kucherov, we should probably hover over this guy for a bit. 6 goals. I mean, we knew he was a good player, mm-hmm. but he's one of those guys who's really starting to go to another level. And of course, Jonathan Drouin, no goals, but five assists in 6 games so mm-hmm. far in the playoffs. These two young guys are really helping drive Tampa forward.
Yeah. I mean, if Stamkos leaves this summer, Kucherov and Drew, I don't even think Drouin needs to move on anymore. I think now that he's getting playing time and being productive, yeah, I would think he would stay, right? I mean, that's what this was all about in the first place, is he wasn't getting playing time. And
right.
Wasn't being used how him and his agent thought he should be. And now he is. And now you look at it and say, well, why do they even need Steven Stamkos?
You kind of do look at it that way, don't you? Think, oh, not that you don't want Steven Stamkos, but that do you want to devote $10 million to one guy when, you know, you got to sign Hedman and you can probably touch up other areas and give yourself a little flexibility.
And none of these young guys are going to be making $9, $10 million against the salary cap for a long time, if ever. And you just look at this and say, look at the depth chart, look at the salary cap chart and say, we could more wisely distribute this cash to make ourselves a deep, talented, offensive, young lineup that can just go on like this for 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, who's old? Who's old on this team?
No, it's true.
You know, so, I mean, Kucherov has just been amazing. Tyler Johnson has shown spurts of it. I don't think he's the player he was last year.
And that's the concern for Tampa, is that assuming he slots in better, not to go too big picture on Tampa, but assuming he does slot in better as a number two guy, who's your number one center, if not Stamkos, if you're not having him on
the
wing?
And that's the ultimate question, right? Because you need centers.
Yeah.
Centers and defense and a good goalie to win. The wingers kind of come. So that is the question. If Stamkos leaves, I mean, there is a hole there. There is a hole in that lineup. So what do you do? I just don't think they necessarily need to spend that salary cap on him. And this is kind of showing it. These playoffs.
Well, we will let Steve Yzerman in Tampa Bay worry about that in the summer. For
going
now,
to Montreal.
Keep playing with my emotions. For now, we'll see how they make out and if they can make a return trip consecutive years to the East Final. Enough of where the sun rises. Let's take a little break and then we're going to focus on where the sun sets. We're going west, young man, to break down some teams we're not used to seeing in the second round. We're going Western Conference Series in the final segment of Tape to Tape. Tape to tape. We're down to our last two series of the second round. They are the Western Conference Series. We are going to dive right in with the first heavyweight matchup.
Puck goes back in and Stastny retrieves there. Stastny nicely able to pull away. Got it to Fabry, sends it in. Back toward the Dallas goal is blocked and out the center right. A breakaway opportunity for Beck, trying to get control of the puck. Cuts off the wall from the back and he scores! What a goal.
That Troy Brouwer goal was just... He struggled with it just long enough for me to think, I don't think he's going to put it in.
Yeah, it's a men's league goal.
Oh,
men's league
man, goal. That's right. Get it on the third attempt, like between your legs. Oh! Oh, thank God. I mean, you got to give the guy props for saying he would have quit hockey.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that was an excellent excellent reaction.
When in the history of second round series has a number one seed been so universally dismissed as we are about to dismiss and disrespect the high-flying, super-fun Dallas Stars?
You know, I've compared the Dallas Stars to the young Washington Capitals a couple times on the show, and I think that's probably the last team, the last top seed team that's been disrespected
maybe
this much. You know,
and it's about matchup, right? St. Louis is a team that, even though it hasn't had playoff success, looks like it is built exactly for playoff success.
Yeah, they just beat Chicago. They just, they blew a lead there and still kind of pulled through, which kind of showed their mettle a little bit. Dallas gets by Minnesota in six games, stumbled a little bit there before they could finish them off, and they didn't really blow them away, which I really thought that they would. I picked a sweep in that series. Dallas could surprise. I think they might win one or two games here, but I just think the Blues are going to grind them down, and they have an element of speed to them too. They have an element of strength and toughness to kind of push them around, but they have an element of speed there too. You can't forget about Vladimir Tarasenko, obviously.
Well,
and Jaden Schwartz.
And Jaden Schwartz and Tarasenko, as good as they've been in the past, it feels like they have found another gear, even if Tarasenko isn't getting on the ice as much as people think he should.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people. I mean, it worked out for the Blues in the end with Troy Brouwer, of all people, scores that goal, who's getting more ice time than Tarasenko is. He got about 4 minutes more ice time in that game.
They clearly value him, though. They gave up TJ Oshie to get him, and they think he's a big dude who can score from the lip of the crease.
I'm not going to say he doesn't have any value. He's
Tarasenko, he ain't.
Yeah, to me, and I'm not an NHL coach, Ken Hitchcock knows more than I do, but
there's a chance.
But you live and die with your best, don't you? You know, it worked out that time.
Well,
but
it does go to show. I mean, it's funny. Like, you want to talk about how much coaches have to believe in themselves and their system. Like, Ken Hitchcock knows if they don't win that series, he's done.
Yes.
I mean, he knows he's getting another job, but
yeah.
And he still is like, oh, sorry. Like, this is how I think we got to play this.
Yeah.
And it worked.
The one guy who is at the center of this, Brouwer, is the one who scores it too. I mean, it's like he can see the future or something. But I am totally going to disrespect the Dallas Stars here. I don't think they're, I said they might win one or two. I think it's Blues in five. I really do.
Really?
I mean, there's depth issues. There's issues of, can their defense hold up against the Blues? But there's also goaltending issues here with Dallas that we can't forget about.
Absolutely.
I mean, they have two goalies who have both been number ones in the past, but they're both like, they don't inspire any confidence at all. So I just, to me, Dallas sticks out as the team that doesn't really have a great shot of getting out of the West. I'd even pick Nashville over Dallas at this point, which is, I'm really disrespecting Dallas here.
Poor Big D.
Yeah, I really like St. Louis. They have so much on the blue line. They have all sorts of different kinds of talent up front. They're like Washington in that way.
Yeah, it's my final.
Yeah. So there you go. So because I like Washington so much out of the East, St. Louis is built very similar to them in that way, where they've got the stars, but they've also got the grit and the depth and all that stuff.
How nice is it to have a pair like Bomeister and Pietrangelo right now? I mean, people are obviously remarking on how much Pietrangelo played in the Game 7 and throughout that series. I mean, those two are both so silky smooth. Big guys. Yeah. They're not going to run you down, but they're big, strong guys, but I mean, I remember seeing Jay Bouwmeester back when he was with Florida and was already kind of becoming a whipping boy and was kind of cast as the "you always leaves you wanting." But you go and watch him live, and like, he gets to center ice in three strides. And as long as you're not expecting him to be Bob Orr and just appreciate him for what he can do, man, he's a heck of a defenseman.
Quietly effective. And because he's so quiet out there, doesn't do anything really flashy, you don't notice the subtle things that he does do right, and it kind of flies under the radar.
Absolutely.
And again, you look at, so those two guys, and then the defense overall, St. Louis has the best, probably two defensemen in this series. They have the better goalie.
Yeah.
And Tyler Seguin's hurt. Jamie Benn is one of the best forwards in the league.
Absolutely.
But so is Vladimir Tarasenko. So
that
might be a wash. So the Blues have an advantage at every position, the best player at every position, basically, in this series.
And we probably shouldn't gloss over how much it sucks for Dallas that they lost Seguin. And I mean, he is
an
absolutely killer player out there.
Yeah.
But I do feel like even if he was in the lineup, if now it's 98% of people picking St. Louis, I still think 94% would have been picking St. Louis. It's just people like this matchup for the Blues.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Agreed. I don't know anybody who picked Dallas.
All right. Well, since that one it was so easy to settle, let's move on to our last matchup, the second Western Conference tilt.
And here's Pavelski. Two scores! Joe Pavelski with an uppercut that brings the Kings to their knees.
Puck is tipped in by Wilson. His backhander, he scores! Colin Wilson picks up the puck and backhands it over Anderson. 1-0 Nashville at 6:19.
Well, if the St. Louis Blues vanquished some ghosts by beating the Blackhawks, man, the San Jose Sharks certainly did the same and probably more by beating a Kings team that 2 years ago came back on them from an 0-3 hole. You know, when LA won game three in overtime this year to get back into the series and avoid going down 0-3, you know, Drew Doughty saying, never doubted it. And like, you kind of were like, oh man, maybe San Jose just something about this team, but they come back and
they also came back from a 3-0 deficit in game five.
They almost came back in game four from 3-0 and then did come back in game five, but regardless, the Sharks are through, and Nashville, just the latest team to ruin the Anaheim Ducks year. Mm-hmm. But why don't we start with the Preds, since you mentioned there is the first Game 7 in Nashville history. They win it. They haven't had any playoff success really to speak of, never been as far as the conference final. I think only been past round one time before this. But it's funny because the team has always seemed to have this infrastructure that should succeed in playoff time. They're just sturdy, right? Haven't had enough punch. Now you add Ryan Johansson in a number one center role, and even if he's not everyone's dream number one center, now you're slotting Ribeiro and Fisher 2-3. You've still got an amazing pair of Weber, Yossi, you know, Matthias Ekholm has come on. The blue line is still so good. But the real key is Pekka Rinne, who, you go back 3 or 4 years, was one of the best goalies in the league, had the hip problems, came back last year, looked good, but then fell off after having some more knee problems, never really got it fired up this year. Now, he's looking pretty good at the end of the Ducks series, and you kind of wonder if Nashville's cooking with fire.
Yeah, the whole reason I picked Anaheim to beat Nashville in seven games is because I didn't believe in Pekka Rinne. And if he's going to catch fire here and catch his youth, I don't see any reason why Nashville can't upset San Jose here. I think a lot of people are going to pick San Jose in this series because Nashville isn't really a known commodity. You know a lot of the players. The average fan knows a lot of the players in San Jose because they've been around the playoffs and failed so many times before. But Nashville, you have Pekka Rinne, and yeah, you have Shea Weber, but Shea Weber might not even be the best defenseman on that team. It might be Roman Josi, and he's going to kind of have a coming out party in this series, I think. They've never really had the forward. They've always flown on defense and goaltending. They've never really had a great forward core, and you mentioned Ryan Johansson's there. Now, Philip Forsberg is a guy that James Neal had nine shots a couple games in that first round series. I mean, he was excellent in that first round series. So now you have scoring up there, and you have the same defense, the same strength in defense that you've had, and a goalie who was good, who might be finding himself again.
Yeah.
They're really dangerous here.
Yeah.
On the other side, though, San Jose is also still very dangerous.
Well, you look at that core. I've said this, and I wrote this after they went up 3-1 in LA. Like, in a different universe, it's really easy to imagine talking about Joe Thornton, Marlowe, Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture, Brent Burns, that core as going for their second championship in 5 years, right? I mean, that team has
they could be chasing the dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been that close. They made two conference finals with this group, too, and you forget about that. I don't think they won a game in either of them.
They got shellacked by Vancouver.
Maybe they won one.
2011.
Yeah. So, I mean, San Jose is my cup pick, so I'm obviously sticking with that. Joe Thornton was awesome in round one, and I just think he's going to keep being awesome in round two and round three and round four. The goaltending is the only thing that San Jose probably doesn't have on Nashville if Rinne keeps going like this. But Martin Jones is pretty good in round one, too.
And they just need him to be steady, and they have a great second option.
Exactly. If he does falter, then you have Reimer to come back, and he got, what was it, three shutouts? After coming to San Jose, he got three shutouts. So, I don't know. Is this one of those series where, you know, experience comes through in the end? I don't know how much to really put on that, but these rosters are so evenly matched in a lot of ways. What is the difference here? In round one, the difference for San Jose was the power play and how it came through for them.
Right.
I don't think you're going to have that same advantage against Nashville. So I think it's just going to be the constant, I think it's just going to be the way they're going to constantly come at Nashville. I think San Jose's just got too much. They've like guys like Thornton and Pavelski, all these guys who have been there and failed so many times for San Jose. Now that they've got past LA, I don't think they're just going to rest on their laurels.
No way.
I think this is all right. Now we're going, and they're lucky that that series only lasted five games.
Sure.
And they don't usually, you would think, you might think this was St. Louis, where you had to slog through a really tough, long series. And if you have to do that against LA, you might be a little more beaten up. But the Sharks only did it in five games. So they've had a bit of a rest here. They shouldn't be as beaten up. They should be really ready for this series. And Nashville's coming off a seven-gamer where they had to fly out west for that game seven. So I guess they can just stay there now.
Yeah.
They don't have to go back.
Hop on the bus.
So I'm still picking San Jose. I think this is going to be a really close, long series. I think it might go as many as seven games. What is the difference going to be? And it might be that kind of chip on the shoulder.
Sure. Well, yeah, I was going to ask you if you thought it could go the distance. It certainly has.
I think a lot of people are going to realize this series, how good Nashville really is.
Yeah, and
how many really good players they have on that team that have really flown under the radar.
And if, you know, beyond that even, I would say hopefully we'll soak in the Nashville scene and see how enthusiastic the fans there are, because it is great.
I would love to go see. Now that I've been to Montreal for a game, I would love to go to Nashville for a game. I think that would be the next place.
Oh, man. So I was there for opening night this year, and my hotel was right by the football stadium, and I was like, oh, man, this is just screaming for a road trip, a sporting double, hit the football.
Tape to tape
on the road. Just come with us, folks. We'll take you everywhere. That's all we have for you this week. Hopefully next week we'll be in Nashville. No, just kidding. We'll lobby that one for a while. But yes, happy to get round two teed up for you. You can follow us throughout the playoffs and the offseason and next season. We're not going anywhere. We're on iTunes. Subscribe there. We're on sportsnet.ca. You can follow Rory at Rory Boylan on Twitter. Myself at Dixon on Sports. You can also catch a special live edition of Tape to Tape. We're going to be on the Sportsnet Radio Network at 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain on Saturday, April 30th, right after the draft lottery plays out. Lots of intrigue for the Canadian teams. It'll be myself and special guest host Garrett Joyce breaking down all things draft. So be sure to check that one out live on Saturday. That's all we have for you this time out. Come back next week for more glass rattling hockey action on Tape to Tape.
Has been Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.